All right. We're going to, the impartation is going to be opening the mystery of apostolic ministry. Opening the mysteries of apostolic ministry, not the history, the mystery. Now, from the Merrill translation, I'm going to read one of the most powerful insight on imparting the apostolic from the Apostle Paul, chapter 2, verse 1. I'm just going to read it, then I'm going to give you the insight and outline he gave me this morning for you. But it's based on opening the mysteries of apostolic ministry. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 in the Merrill Study Bible, verse 1, my intention in visiting you was not to engage with you in theological debates or to impress you with clever philosophical words guessing about the mystery of God. My mind is fully made up about you. The only possible way in which I can truly know you is in the light of God's mystery, which is Christ in you. Jesus died mankind's death on the cross and thus brought final closure to any other basis of judgment. I felt completely inadequate, you know, that it was not my eloquent speech that persuaded you. I was so nervous that my whole body was trembling with stage fright. My message was not with persuasive arguments based on secular wisdom, since my aim was not to point people to me, but rather the powerful working of the Spirit in them. Listen carefully, because it lands the things out. Verse 5. Mankind, wise scheme of influence, could never match the power of God as reference to your faith. The word we speak resonates revelation wisdom in those who understand how perfectly redeemed they are in Christ. This wisdom supersedes every secular kind. Suddenly, what once seemed wise and good advice has become useless information. Verse 7. My voice, words of wisdom that was hidden in silence for timeless age, a mystery unfolding God's masterful plan whereby he will redeem his glory in man. Our glorification has always been God's agenda, even before time was. In verse 8, neither the politician nor the religious leader of the day had a clue about this mystery. If they did, they would never have crucified the Lord who does redeem our glory. Verse 9, 1 Corinthians 2:9. It is written, what had been concealed for ages in a realm inaccessible to the senses, but no human eye could catch a glimpse of, nor their ear could ever hear a whisper of, neither could the inquiring mind decipher the core of that mystery, which God had already accomplished, prepared as a raw highway imprinted in the heart of his lovers. And then verse 10, these profound mysteries of God's eternal resolve are now unveiled in us. Nothing is hidden from the Holy Spirit, who explores the innermost thoughts of God. Let's read 10 verses to give an example of how important it is to know that we're in a shifting position. We go back to what we said about the apostle structure, heaven to earth government, which opened the portals of the supernatural to all those connected can enter in and benefit. I think that's a powerful statement. As we open in the mysteries of the apostolic ministry, as I talked to God about it this morning, so this is all fresh, new, from heaven. Notice I didn't say the history of apostolic ministry.
Amen.
This is the major move in the Spirit, to move from history, continue letting the Holy Spirit reveal the mystery of the kingdom in you and through you. So as revelation that has really in our time has not been touched, we examine or walk in those realms. That's why we're talking about grace, talking about meditation. We'll be talking about praying in the spirit. We'll talk about praise and worship. Number one, he says, being open to the Holy Spirit at all times. Being open to the Holy Spirit at all times. In other words, don't put God on a schedule. Apostolically, you always got to be alert and aware in the realm of the spirit. I've done it for over a year, and he'll start talking and tell you things. You can be in a supermarket. You can be in a game, basketball game. Just being open to the Holy Spirit at all times, not just when you pray, not just when you want to know something, but apostolically, you walk in spiritual all the time. Now, the scriptures for that is Romans 8, 26 through 28. And when you read that, you're going to find out that your infirmities are there for a reason. All of us, no matter who you are, no matter how smart you think you are, all of us have infirmities. Infirmities are there for a reason. They be converted into the mind of the Spirit, converted into the will of God, converted into the love of God, converted into the call of God, converted into the purpose of God. All that's in Romans 8, 26 through 28. Then in your ministry, no matter what comes, all things work out together for good for them that love God. You see, you're coming from an infirmity. You have to recognize your infirmity. You're coming to your infirmity, and by accepting that part, praying in the spirit, then the mind of the spirit starts flowing in you. Once you start flowing in the mind of the spirit, the will of God will come clear to you. Once that happens, your love for God, your calling will be revealed to you. And then you can walk majorly in God's presence at all times. And all things are working together for good. Also, put 1 Corinthians 14:2 there also. Paul said, when a man praying in an unknown tongue, not speaking to men but to God, howbeit in the spirit, he speaketh mystery. Mysteries are very important in the apostolic ministry, opening up mysteries that God wants his people, our children, to know. So that's very, very important. Those two scriptures will place you in a position of seeing things that you have not seen before. Being open to the Holy Spirit at all times. In other words, can't get him off your mind. Can't get God off your mind. Can't get Jesus off your mind. It's your life. Other things come in at times. But my full mind, my full spirit, my full life, my full thought, my full understanding, my full wisdom is spiritual from the Holy Spirit as I open the mysteries of apostolic ministry. Number two, understand the mysteries of the seed on purpose. The mystery of the seed. I know you have read Matthew 13, where Jesus talked about the soul is the seed. But then he get down to a verse and he deal with the aspect of the mystery of the seed, that once one understand that mystery, it can't be stopped. Let me look at it. Matthew 13. I want to look at it for a minute and read that powerful scripture that he said about this. After he taught about the seed, he made a statement that I think we should hang on to. So we're talking about understanding the mysteries, plural, of the seed on purpose. Now that what that's going to do for your ministry is your ministry is never going to have no financial problem. I can't think back to find no financial problem in my ministry, even when I didn't have nothing. God always provided for the ministry. I didn't know as much about the seed as I know now. But you want seed wisdom, I tell you that. It's very important in ministry. I don't care what nobody say. I don't care what nobody complain. you want to flow in that seed ministry. I got a little study Bible here. It's going to take me a while to find it. As it's 13, I want to go to, let's see. Let me go to another Bible. So I can get a little faster because I want to touch on this for a few moments as we make this impartation. In teaching on a different type of soil, it's very important to understand that and you know how to protect your seed. In the 16th verse of that 13th chapter of Matthew, he said, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." So their eyes not seeing, and ears not hearing on this level. That's why we come together like this. Through fear and trembling, we're walking with God, but he's showing us different insight in the realm of the spirit. In the 17th verse, it says, "Verily I say to you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them." That's another aspect I want to pull out. He spoke about the mystery of this whole thing.
Verse 11.
"It is given you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." And the 12th verse said, "For whosoever has," verse 11, "whosoever have insight," in verse 11, "he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, taken away even that he had." It's amazing that he used a seed lesson to teach that powerful aspect of the mystery of God. Now, understand the mystery of the seed on purpose. If you do not understand the mystery of the seed, you will not walk in an apostolic anointing. It's impossible. The next stage I want you to look at is letting God use you in a special way in ministry. And that's what I read there in 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 10. Yielding yourself to God. And sometimes God have you say broken things. You know what I mean by that? Have you say broken things. You're not all adequate. You're not all eloquent. You're not all in position. It's just like a broken English or fall in some kind of way. You don't have to make it up. It just come automatically. And don't interrupt God by trying to teach God English. God don't need to know no English. God know all language. Time you have you to say things in certain ways that the spirit can come across clear. Mystery. See, we're talking about mystery. We're talking about ministry can move into outstanding anointing. Sometimes the spirit puts you in an inadequate position to float. Never float in the spirit. Always flow with the spirit. Some of my greatest moments was awkward moments. I didn't know what to do. But you always, if you yield to him, he's going to show you a mystery that you had not seen. So letting God use you in a special way in ministry. In other words, you don't have to fake nothing. You don't have to try to make nothing happen. But supernaturally, God will sometimes use you in different manner than normal. That's why Paul could say in 1 Corinthians 2, I'm determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. He talked about how speech was not enticing word, man wisdom, but in demonstration, that is, of the spirit and of power. That's where we want our ministry to be. Number four, keeping your prayer life fresh. Stand open in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And that's Jude 20, building yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. I cannot emphasize, why we prayed those 5 minutes together, emphasize the importance of every day spending time praying in the Spirit. Schmidt Wigglesworth, Kenneth Hagin, they all talk about how they depended on praying in the Spirit. Captain Coomer, those were the things of their ministry. Even Fred Price, so those were the key to their ministry. Spending time, not how you feel, but praying in the Spirit. I force myself. If my body and my mind do not want to pray in the Spirit, I force them to pray in the Spirit. And I pray in the Spirit, and I pray, and I have a certain time I'm going to pray. I'm not going to stop. I keep praying. So if the Lord's going to use you in a special way, you have to keep your prayer life fresh and open in the presence of the Holy Spirit. He's the one. He's the one to know why God put you in that area where you are. And he's the one going to have you to take over that area for the kingdom of God. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Number five, holiness is the primary, must be a primary mark in your life.
Yep.
Stand in the presence of God. The psalmist point out in Psalm 1 how to stay in the presence of God. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of ungodly, nor sit in the seat of scornful, and delight in the Lord. He meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the river of the water, and whatsoever he doeth, he prosper. Those first three verses. He was a meditator. By being a meditator, it kept him out of the sin traffic. You're going to have to, if anyone understands my voice, now I had something that is blocking their holiness, you're going to have to let the Holy Spirit move it out. And he will move it out. Because holiness is a primary mark, must be a primary mark in your life. Stand in the presence of God. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. But that means when you make a wrong move, you're about to make a wrong move, you're going to have a check. And you can get back in place even before the enemy can point his fingers at you. So I believe that the apostolic, one of the opening of the mystery of the apostolic ministry is holiness, is living the life that you're trying to preach. Don't preach something and live something else.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very important. So I'm going to repeat it again. Number five, holiness is a primary, is a primary must, be a primary mark in your life. The Bible should be sure your sin will find you out. Stand in the presence of God. Number six, opening the portals of the supernatural on a daily basis. Pioneering, pathfinding, and pace setting. In other words, I've seen some things in grace I never heard. I've read all kinds of books. I'm seeing things in grace now I've never seen before. And I think it's being apostolic, open to us to get our members to understand how powerful they really are and how God have called them in ministry also. He didn't just call us. He called them also in ministry. So it's real powerful. So opening the portals of the supernatural on a daily basis, pioneering, pathfinding, and pace setting. Now, word to cover that, Acts 2, 1 through 4, when they were filled with the Holy Ghost, the wind was blowing. Actually, you cannot be historical and hold on to the Spirit of God. You have to be willing to move. God will show you things that no man seen. Fred Price, Kenneth Hagin, Oral Roberts, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He revealed things to you, and then he confirmed those things in your heart. So remember, you're a pioneer, you're a pathfinder, and you're a pacesetter. All right, number seven, dressing properly to preach the gospel. Every now and then I see one of y'all pull your tie off, got a little shirt on. Don't let the world lower your ministerial dignity. Don't let the world lower your... They're trying to pull us out. See, you, the ministry is higher than the president, higher than any calling. You got all of God on your life. You're in a higher fear and all, but you don't see President Trump just with a little T-shirt on trying to talk to people, some little shirt on. We need to dress properly. I always did dress properly in ministry. I tried to go one time. Shit, it didn't work. I felt I was dishonoring God. So, and you can look in the Bible, you can find that people dressed in the Bible too. Dressing properly to preach the gospel. Don't let the world lower your ministerial dignity. I have Romans 1:16. I'm almost through. About a half hour, I'll be through. Always operate in the boldness of grace and the quenching power of faith. Does the shield of faith quench all the fire of God? Then boldness of grace. When the Holy Spirit showed me that, I never saw boldness with grace. Never saw the two words together. But he told me, always operate in the boldness of grace and the quenching power of faith. Well, I know Hebrews 4:16 said, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we can find grace and mercy to help in time of need. And reading that, the Lord said, I want you to look at that boldness. Not just coming, but there's a boldness in grace. And I guess so, because grace is the most boldest thing. Happened, Jesus died on the cross and made a mockery of Satan, came out of the grave, and then stayed as long as he wanted to stay, and then took off, went back to heaven. Then God in heaven sat down right at his right hand of the Father. Then when he sat down, he sent the Holy Spirit. My God, how bold can you get? So always operating the boldness of grace and the quenching power of faith. In other words now, above all, taking the shield of faith, quenching all the fire of doubt, all kind of doubts come at your mind, your conscience, your imagination. Through faith, you quench those things. It's so important. So I want to give this to you. Lord, I concentrate myself to apostolic ministry, willing to make the changes that are necessary. I see a bright present and a bright future. I'm willing to be different to please you. All setback in my ministry now become a setup for me to flow in the rivers of good success. I must take over this territory you have placed me by obeying your voice. Let heaven flow in and through my life, removing all discouragement. One more time, then I'm closing. Lord, I consecrate myself to apostolic ministry, willing to make the changes that are necessary. I see a bright present and a bright future. I'm willing to be different to please you. All setback in my ministry, very careful, now become a setup for me to flow in the rivers of good success. I must take over this territory you have placed me in by obeying your voice. Let heaven flow in and through my life, removing all discouragement. Now, Darrow was placed in place for to be an example to you all. Many of y'all have come to Darrow. Darrow is just a little small country place. But yet God extended my ministry throughout the world. And God made it so that we can take authority over Darrow because we own 600 acres of land. That's about all the land here. But that's the way he'll do it for you. I tried to leave. And he told me, no, I'm going to do it here in Darrow. So wherever he placed you at, recognize that's your place. No matter who against you, they can't stand because God put you there to rule the territory. God bless you. I'll see you the next round.
Yeah, Pastor.